Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Midnight on the interstate, and I didn't feel so great until I saw the city.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source with Michael Russo. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. My guest today, Ryan Reeves, somebody that I'm sure a lot of Wild fans did not like as of about a week and a half ago, but now probably are starting to fall for him. Three games, played three good games as well with the Wild. And the team is 2-1 in those three games. And he's my guest today. And it's a real fun interview with a very charismatic, very good quote. There's a reason why he's a darling for sports writers around the National Hockey League. He's always somebody that all home writers, but definitely out of town writers, flock to his stall to talk to, because he's just one, so friendly, but two, just such a great quote, no political correctness to him, all that type of stuff, you know, willing to be honest. And I remember when I was covering the Winnipeg Jets and the Vegas Golden Knights series in 2018, he was somebody that I leaned on a lot for good stuff. And then what do you know, he scores the series clinching goal to send Vegas to the Stanley Cup final in his hometown of Winnipeg. So a real fun interview talking about that, talking about his dad, Willard Reeves, who played in the Canadian Football League, is a legend up there, played also a little cup of coffee in the National Football League with the Washington Redskins and the Miami Dolphins. And in fact, his brother, Jordan Reeves, still plays in the CFL as well. So we'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about his, he's a relative of Bass Reeves, the old U.S. famous U.S. Marshal, different spelling. And really interesting how they found out that, that the family is related to Bass Reeves, the famous U.S. Marshal that was back in the 1800s. I remember reading about him when I was a kid. Again, hopefully everybody enjoys this interview and gets a better appreciation for somebody that they've probably rooted against for many, many years just because of the style that he has. But he is your typical hate him when you root it, when you watch him on another team, but love him when he's on your own team. And clearly he is fit in well. And there's a reason why Billy Guerin went out and got him. And that's just because this team is a small team and they need some ruggedness. They need some size. And he brings both of those. If you see him off the ice, he's absolutely ripped, in impeccable shape. And for a guy that was scratching 8 of 9 games before coming here, he certainly feels like he's getting his legs right now and he's fit in. He started on the third line. Obviously, that wasn't going to be a long-term decision. Now he's back down to the fourth line. But you know what? He played really well last night with Connor Durer and Mason Shaw. So we'll see if that continues. Wild have won four of their last five games. They're in this little 2-1 win, lose one, win two, lose one modes right now. And they're going to try to win their first, get their first three game winning streak on Saturday afternoon against the Anaheim Ducks. And then they'll continue down to Dallas, begin a four game road trip on a second of back to back against Jason Robertson, who's 22 goals already. And Dallas Stars, Jason Robertson, absolute superstar. The guy that he was runner up to, in the Calder Trophy a couple years ago, Kirill Kaprizov, is really heating up for the Wild now, has a 10-game point streak. That's a career high, 17 points in that stretch. We've seen him in, you know, more torrid paces in his point streaks in the past, but here he's getting, you know, points every single night. He also broke the franchise record that he had tied with Jimmy Dowd with a 9-game assist streak last night on second period assist on Joel Eriksson-Ek's goal. And Eriksson-Ek is playing really well as well. He has 9 points in his last 6 games, 4 multiple-point games, winning draws every night. Last night checked the heck out of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl at even strength. That line did absolutely nothing. The Oilers were really, really tired last night. You could tell. You know, Jay Woodcroft, I think, rolled the dice. He tried to get the winnable game in Chicago, and he really abnormally, I've never seen ice time deployment on the front end of a back-to-back like this in my life. Connor McDavid played 27 minutes. Leon Draisaitl played 26 minutes. Darnell Nurse played 29 minutes. Cody Ceci, I think, was at 26 minutes. Zach Hyman was at 25 minutes. And then everybody else was in the, like, 10s to 14s. You just knew that the Wild had to take advantage of that yesterday. That, you know, as good as McDavid and Draisaitl are, that they're just not superhuman guys. And so last night, to me, they looked tired, and they still wound up with getting points, right? Draisaitl scores on the power play goal, just a great shot, and then sets up McDavid on the 2-on-1 when they got out there against Middleton and Spurgeon and the Steele line, the top line, not the Eriksson-Ek line. You know, a tough play by Steele. I know what he was doing. He was trying to catch Jack Campbell out of net, threw the puck at the net, but the problem is nobody was there, so the puck left the zone pretty easy. And then Middleton, who I thought was great last night, just had a bad pinch, and obviously it led to the 2-on-1. But, you know, again, these guys play 30 shifts a game, and I know that Wild fans are always quick to jump on a defenseman when they make a mistake. If you watched last night's game and didn't think Middleton was great, I just don't know what you're watching. So he made one mistake in a game. It led to a goal. But how many goals down low did Middleton break up with just a great stick, great body, being down low in front of the net? I thought he played a fabulous game, so I think you could forgive him for one bad play. I wrote about Kirill Kaprizov today. He's been a big topic, obviously, lately. Joe Smith wrote about him the other day, where he talked to a bunch of stars around the league, the Kucherovs and McKinnons, about what their appreciation and respect level for Kaprizov. I wrote about him today. I've been kind of keeping this in the holster for a while, but his parents and his girlfriend have actually been in town for a month on a temporary visa, a travel visa to come to the Twin Cities and stay here. They've been staying with Kaprizov at his condo. They've been going out to dinner all over town. His mom's making a bunch of food, and Kirill in English last night joked that he's been well fed and has much more energy. And, you know, you could tell last night from talking to Kaprizov, one, how excited he is that his parents and his girlfriend are in town, but two, that they're seeing the team play so well and him play so well during this stretch. And they've won, again, 4 of the last 5 games. They're 4-2 on this homestand, can make it 5-2 with a win against Anaheim. And then his parents and girlfriend will stay a little longer, and then I believe head home, and then I assume that his dad's going to come back for the father-son trip in Florida in January. Obviously, you got to get him a visa for that, and they're going through those hoops now. But really cool story with Kaprizov, and he's just getting more and more comfortable with his English too with us. He's so affable to the writers. I can't tell you how fun that's been. It's just feeling like you're getting to know him this year as a beat writer. You have those relationships with all these guys because you get to know them and they speak your common language. And obviously, you know, Kirill, he speaks English around the guys, but he's learning more and more, and he's just so friendly to the writers now, and and chatting with us. And last night he was happy to talk to us, and I just think that's really cool, because I think one of the toughest parts of covering him the first couple of years was you get to a point where because he was only talking talking through his translator. You start just asking his teammates all the time about him. So if he has a good game, 4-point game or something, you're asking Zuccarello or Foligno or Eriksson Ek. And sooner or later, they get tired of that, right? It's not their job to always pump his tires to the media and talk on his behalf. And lately, we're talking to him a lot after games. And sometimes it's in English, sometimes it's with his translator. His translator, Ilya, was actually at the game yesterday. So he just came into the locker room and did it in person with us. But there's points where Ilya's helping, but there's other points where Kirill is understanding what we're saying. He always understands what we're asking, but there's times where he's actually communicating back in English too, rather than just always in Russian and giving it to the reporter. And it's just, I can't tell you how much I respect that. Just imagine any of us parachuting in to Russia and playing in the Continental Hockey League and trying to talk to Russian reporters as English-speaking people. It'd be pretty impossible, at least for me it would. And for Kaprizov and all these Europeans that come over here and do it, I always just incredibly respectful. And by the way, I think I've always told you guys Ilya's relationship. So Ilya, I actually covered his father. His father was a National Hockey League defenseman named Igor Kravchuk. Different spelling than his last name. Igor Americanized his last name for the dumb American reporters like myself, and made it, I think, Kravchuk or maybe CK. But I covered him for a cup of coffee in Florida. Really cool guy. Had a really great National Hockey League career. And then coincidentally, Igor's agent was Paul Theofanis, who is Kirill's agent, and Ilya, Igor's son, happens to live in the Twin Cities working for 3M. So that's how Ilya became connected with Kaprizov and became sort of the quasi translator for Kaprizov here. Just total happenstance that he lived here and that there was a relationship with Theofanis. I believe he did not know Kaprizov before he got here. So pretty cool story there. A lot of cool games coming up as well. A lot of cool stories coming. I got a Mike Modano NHL 99 story coming out next week. So hopefully everybody reads that. On Friday, probably a little after this podcast, Joe and I do a story on 5 burning questions that the Wild need to answer for the second half of the season here, even though we're barely into the second quarter of the season, but you get the drift. So we did actually, I think we did 6 burning questions. I have an editor at the Star Tribune that used to always say to me, he's like, you don't have to make it 5 or 10 or 15. I know that's like the newspaper thing, but if there's 6 questions, there's 6 questions. So do 6. So thanks for Chris Miller for that advice years ago, and I still hold up to it. There was no reason why we had to do 5 burning questions if there's 6. So that'll be in Friday's Athletic. Sunday, I'll have a game story. Joe will have a game story off Saturday's game from Anaheim. I'll do one from Dallas, and then Joe's on the road trip next week, and then the homestand after that. Hopefully, everybody enjoys this podcast with Ryan Reeves. But first, here's a word from one of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, welcome to Ryan Reeves. Welcome to Minnesota, first of all, Ryan. You've played a lot of games in your career. I bet you've never gotten cheered in this building, though, as much as you have been lately.
Not once. Not once. Nice to hear.
Yeah. I mean, what is that like? I mean, you've been in this job now for several years, and you know you are the prototypical, like, from a fan base standpoint, you love you if you're on your team, but man, if you got to watch you just hate that guy. And, you know, and then you get traded to a new team. Now those fans fall for you immediately. What is that like to be that person?
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, honestly, I love going to different buildings and people hating me. I don't know why. So that's just fun to me. But it's also a lot of fun when you get to a new team and all of a sudden, the same fans that were booing you and yelling at you during a game are now cheering for you. So it's a fun little transition.
I always find you like refreshingly old school. And not just from the fighting standpoint. You know, in Chychrun's grill the other day, I remember last year you were in Kaprizov's grill. You seem to, from an old school perspective, identify who's the guy on the other team that is their big player and try to get him rattled and thrown off his game.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I was brought up. I was brought up as a guy that, obviously wasn't there to score goals. So I was there to intimidate, stick up for teammates, draw some energy, get in the grill of other players, and try and draw penalties, and just have fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell me about your folks. I mean, your dad, Willard, born in Arizona, quite a Canadian Football League career, a most outstanding player, I think, in 84.
Yeah.
Ends his career playing for the Redskins and the Dolphins, team that I used to actually cover down in Florida, the Dolphins. What was the football background? How much did you just love watching him play and all that?
I don't remember much of watching him play. There was one like highlight video cassette that I would watch every week probably. Cause I love football. I still love football. Arguably probably liked it a little bit more when I was younger. I don't remember him playing, but I just remember while I was growing up, everything was football in my house. Like, my dad would play knee football with me. We'd set down pads and, he'd get on his knees and throw the ball to me, and I'd have to try and get around him. He'd tackle me. Always like swatting my feet when I was running, throwing footballs at me all the time. Who could touch the ceiling quickest between me and my brother as we grew up? Just a lot of battles, but a lot of it had to do with football.
Yeah. And your brother, still Jordan, plays in Edmonton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so is that going on now? Like, will you see him on this trip, or how does?
No. So his season's done. He's in Carolina now. So his wife races NASCAR. So that's kind of stationed in Carolina. So he's down there for the off season.
So his wife races NASCAR.
She's in I don't think it's the very top league. I think it's the league right under. But she's in the NASCAR league.
Now, what a fascinating life you have. And you said another brother or sister?
No, I have a half sister. But she's my sister. And she lives in Arizona. So.
Right. Yeah. And you were a football player. I mean, you were supposed to play football, right?
Probably. I probably should have, the way I play on the ice. But I loved football. I lived and breathed it. I did hockey too, but I was arguably a little bit better at football. Playing in a hockey tournament, we were right before you get drafted into junior, shaking hands in the game after, and my knee just locked up, tore my PCL, and I got drafted into junior, and Kelly McCrimmon was the coach, GM, owner at the time. He said, if you want to play hockey here, you got to make a decision. Like, you can't be playing both. And I wasn't willing to sit out football and hockey, so that was just kind of a decision made for me.
And how does one – I remember asking this. I covered that 2018 series when you scored the clinching goal up in Winnipeg, and I remember asking, how does one tear his PCL in a handshake line? You have no idea, right?
I honestly have no idea. I was gliding on my right foot, shaking hands, and all of a sudden my heel just, like, kicked to my to my butt. And, I just went down on the ice, and I thought, like – thought maybe I broke a bone or something, got an x-ray, nothing. So I had to go for an MRI, and he said, tore my PCL. So I must have did something in the game that was just ready to snap, and then I guess.
But by the way, like, you have, then Kelly McCrimmon brings you to Vegas, acquired you from Pittsburgh. I mean, technically it was George McPhee, I assume, but I'm sure Kelly did the full endorsement. What is it about Kelly? Like, every time I see him after a game, there's other players from other teams that he's had that come up to him to want to, Braden Schenn. I was just in at the St. Louis Vegas game a couple of weeks ago, and Braden Schenn right away looking for Kelly. And what is it about him that there's such loyalty amongst the players that he used to play for him?
Well, for me, he was always kind of a mentor for me. So, not gonna lie, he put up with a lot of stuff in my first year that he probably shouldn't have. He gave me a lot of chances and kind of guided me through, being a little bit of an idiot when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then just even coming up, once I left junior, he was always a guy, if I was going through something, if I just needed to talk to somebody in the hockey world, he was always the guy that I would talk to. So, he's always been kind of that guy for me in the hockey world. And I got a lot of respect for him. Obviously he kind of helped me rejuvenate my career in Vegas. But he's very loyal to the guys he had in junior.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you look at the Golden Knights, a lot of players came from Brandon, or a lot of players came from Manitoba. And, when I played in Brandon, a lot of players were from Manitoba. He's very loyal to Manitoba for whatever reason. And I think a lot of guys respect him for that.
Every year in the NHLPA poll, you're voted as one of the toughest guy in the National Hockey League. How hard is it from your role that we were talking about the other day where, you know, there are guys that just won't fight you anymore. So it just feels like you had to adjust your game and play a regular shift. And
yeah. Like yeah. It was tough, I guess, when it was happening. You know, you saw a lot of guys like me getting kicked out of the league kind of right after the lockout. And, you know, you had to adjust. Like I didn't want to be that guy that was, all right, there's nobody else fighting, so now I'm not, you know, I don't have a job. So I had to get faster. I had to, you know, work on the hands a little bit, but I had to be able to keep up with the new speed. You know, from when I came into the league to now, the game is much faster. And so to be able to keep up with some of these guys is, you know, it had to take some adjusting. I wasn't in the gym working out as much. I was, not in the gym. I wasn't, you know, just lifting weights to get big, to get ready for these guys. It was more, okay, now I got to work on my speed, you know, more jumps, more explosive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a little bit of a adjustment. And then, you know, now it is what it is. Like, yeah, I think last year I had 3 fights. It's hard to get them now.
Yeah. And does that make it more fun for you though, that now, I mean, you come here though, and you start off playing with Eric Sinek the other night. Last night you played a regular shift. I mean, at least now you're in an action and rather than just being the guy that has to play sheriff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still going to play sheriff. I don't think that's ever going to go away, but, it's much easier on my game when I'm playing a regular shift rather than, you know, playing a shift and then sitting for 10 minutes and then there's a TV timeout and then there's a power play and then, you know, you get out, you know, 15 minutes later. I think if you ask anybody around the league that's played that those kind of minutes sometime in their career, it's the hardest thing in hockey to do.
Yeah.
You know, playing 16, 17 minutes is much easier than playing 7 minutes because,
right.
You know, not because you're not rested, it's because, you know, you sit there, you just don't feel like you're in the game. So then when you get out for a shift, you just feel like you have to do something and that's when you overthink the game. That's when you make mistakes, and so it's hard to get in a rhythm when you're not out there regularly.
Yeah, I asked you about this the other day. I'm fascinated that you did some lineage lately. Recently, your dad, I think, did, and found out that you guys are related to Bass Reeves.
Yeah.
So how is that? So Bass Reeves, first black deputy U.S. Marshal, I believe.
Yeah, west of the Mississippi.
Yeah, west of the Mississippi, 1800s. I still remember reading about him when I was a kid. How did you find out that you were related? And how is he related to your dad?
So he is my dad's great, 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 might be another great in there, grandfather. He just did one of those 23andMe's, and he found that out. He called me, sent me some article, and then I had some company, I want to say it was Leonardo DiCaprio's production team, if that's right, don't misquote me on that, called me and asked if they could do a movie on him, and I was like, listen, I don't know why you're asking me.
Right.
Go ahead. I don't know if they're doing a movie or a TV show or what it is, but it's an interesting story. I read a little bit up on him. Yeah. It's an interesting guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just, again, coincidentally, like here you are years later,
yeah.
You're the sheriff,
yeah.
Right? I mean, same role. What is, so I just walked in, was hanging out in the hallway and I watched Marc-Andre Fleury playing a prank on Andrew Haidt, and it was just genius to watch. I mean, he was just doing all sorts of stuff in his room. Things that I think that Whitey might find, like, weeks from now. What's the best pranks that you've seen in hockey?
Oh, man. The best one I've seen in hockey. I mean, I think probably, I think we had a rookie, his stuff was tied up, put in water and then put in a freezer, like his clothes. And so obviously that's tough to get out of, you know, after practice, you hate coming out to see that. You know, I'm a big fan of scaring people. I've always have. And, you know, I got Phil Kessel, I think I got Scotty Gomez, Shaddy, one time. So, I like doing the scaring stuff, but, there's been a couple, I think when I was in the AHL, somebody sewed, you know, back in the day, we had those like long string keychains.
Oh yeah,
it was like the rope or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they left the rope out of my pocket, but they sewed my keys inside of the pocket.
Oh genius!
And so I'm walking out of practice, and I'm trying to get my keys, and it didn't click until I got to the car. Like what was going on? I was trying to unfold it for about 10 minutes. I was like, okay, they sewed it in there. I got you. I had to walk all the way back to the rink, unstitch it.
Oh man, that's hilarious. Tell me about your family. So wife, kids.
Yeah. Wife, I got a 6-year-old boy, 3-year-old daughter.
Right. And they, I mean, first day here is Thanksgiving, and they got to go to Spurge's house. I mean, first of all, how special was that the captain, you know, thought right away to include you? But, but two, I mean, just to have somebody to hang out with when you're traded the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I mean, that was, you know, obviously really nice of him. You know, coming to a new team is always a little bit tough. You know, I think, you know, my personality, I try and fit in pretty quickly with guys, but, you know, that those kind of things really help. You know, shows what kind of guy he is, what kind of captain he is. So, yeah, shout out to Spurs for letting me come eat his food. Hey, he did a good job in the kitchen too. He was it was a good meal.
And like I just figured that he hired a chef. I didn't realize that actually Danny and him cooked.
Oh yeah, he was in the kitchen. He was in the mix.
That is hilarious. Yeah. All right, we got some Twitter questions. Yeah, first one's from some guy named C_7 on Twitter. He's got a bunch of questions.
I bet you
here,
he does. Right? Bring every one of them.
All right, so first tell us about the white shoes.
So my style back in the day was I was finding my style, and I showed up to a game with white slip on. I don't even know if they were dress shoes, what they were, white slip ons and like a black suit, and I thought I was looking good. And I came in, and Stu just gave it to me, and then Shaddy gave it to me one by one. All the boys gave it to me, and those shoes didn't see the light of day after. I just bought them too. I was devastated. I thought I was looking nice.
All right. He wants to know who won the one-on-one basketball game in Jamaica.
Just ask him. I don't know why he's got to tweet that. He knows who won. And then he's going to be like, oh, you know, he's playing prison rules. Like, it's always prison rules when we play. Like, it's never, we're not playing the NBA. And he's like, oh, it was hot. Like, no, I whooped him up. And he can pull up any time if he wants it again.
So it's on video or
no,
you mean?
No, it's on video. Yeah, yeah.
All right. So you can play anytime.
Yeah.
Stewie's actually still in Minnesota, right? He's up in the...
He's like 2.5 hours away.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's a quick drive, Stu. If you're listening, it's a quick drive. Get down here.
Play down here. By the way, I don't know if you know, like, Stewie is one of the most popular, like, instantaneously popular Minnesota Wild players, so much that the Wild acquired him twice.
Yeah. But,
you know, the whole Stewie sprint and all that stuff. I actually was lucky enough, I covered both Stewart brothers. I covered Anthony before.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. All right, anchovies and Caesar salad, he wants to know.
Oh, man. Listen... I got allergies to fish, peanuts, pine nuts. Okay, we go out to dinners, and in Canada, not every Caesar salad has anchovies in it. I love Caesar salad, so we go out to restaurants, and every place I would ask is like, "Is there anchovies in that Caesar salad?" You know, some places would be like, "Yeah, there is." Some places would be like, "No," but like, I guess back in the day, some places that said there is, but I already had like a little bite of it.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it was just like it wasn't enough in there that my body wouldn't react. And sometimes like I take a bite and it was like, ah, yeah, there's definitely some fish in there. And like, you know, I get the scratch in the throat and they, oh, here we go again. So I would just wear them out. It was always some kind of allergies going on at dinner.
All right.
Hey, but you know what's funny though? He would always chirp me about allergies. And then, you know, 2 years later, all of a sudden he's allergic to rice and gluten. It was like, oh, yeah. Wait, make sure there's no rice in that.
Yeah.
Oh, is there rice in that sushi stew? Okay, just making sure.
Where did Dumbo was saying that actually that he met you going out to a basketball game and to hang out at a restaurant with Stewie, right?
Yeah.
That, was that here in the Twin Cities or was that?
Yeah, you know what? I don't remember, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stewie, last question from him. He wants to know what size Chuck Taylor do you wear?
It's 14 for everything. Okay. So the story behind that, I would go to regular stores don't carry 14s a lot, right?
Right.
So it's hard for me to find shoes. So we'd be on the road. Okay, there's a mall right here, Foot Locker. I'm going to go. And I'd be like, hey, you got what kind of 14s you got? They're like, well, we got everything in 14s. So I say, listen, bring me everything you got in 14s, except I don't need any Chuck Taylors. That's what everybody says. Like, no, we got everything. So the guy would go back, and then he'd come back with 3 boxes and be like, all right, I got 3 pairs of Chuck Taylors. That's all we got. So it's just like it was constantly trying to find something other than Chuck Taylors.
Oh, man, that's funny. All right, Wild Boy is 59 wants to know your favorite teammate. It's got to be Stewie, right? Or is it?
Stu's
who
definitely.
Besides Stewie?
Who besides Stu? We got Stu, Shaddy. We got Flower.
Shaddy being Shattenkirk.
We got Braden McNabb. We got Barkley Goodrow. Those are probably my top.
That's awesome. Yeah. By the way,
Jackman back in the day too. Got to give him a shout out.
Yep. He great player too. Yep. Defenseman for St. Louis. So coincidentally, the day you're traded, I had Doug Armstrong on my podcast. So another GM that absolutely loves you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not often you can ask another GM about an acquired player from a
rival team. Yeah. He'll go on and on about that player. So, so Dan wants to know your best Chris Stewart story.
Best Chris Stewart story. Oh man. What's my, we'll come back to that one. Let me cook something up there. I don't know if I can talk about any of the best Chris Stewart stories.
I know, right. Let's see. What's your favorite fight that you've ever taken part of? And this is from Brennan.
Probably the one against McGraden. That was my first true heavyweight that ever fought. I did really well against him, cut him open. I think he had a conky after. I probably had a conky after too. Mm-hmm. But I think after that fight, that was like the first time I realized how tough I was. Mm-hmm. You know, I was never really a fighter coming up. You know, in junior, I wasn't a fighter. My first year in the AHL, I wasn't. And then I was told if you want to make the NHL, you got to start fighting. So, mm-hmm. You know, I took boxing lessons. I started fighting. But I wasn't really fighting when I first got to NHL the first year. I wasn't really fighting, you know, true heavyweights. I was just kind of mm-hmm. like the one rank below. And then when I got that McGraden fight, you know, my confidence skyrocketed after that.
Mm-hmm. Going into a game when you know you're probably going to have to fight, and I know it's rare and more rare now, but I remember I covered Peter Worrell in Florida, and there were times where he'd get anxiety going into a game knowing, I got to fight that guy, Probert, whatever. Boogie, same thing here. Is there anxiety going into on those type of days? Or
I did before that fight.
Yeah.
And then after that, after that, it was like, yeah, I'm probably going to have to fight, but I can handle it, you know? Mm-hmm. That was a big fight for my career.
Brett Marshall wants to know, have you and Foligno talked about your fight earlier in this year? We know that you have.
We have, yeah. We have. We talked about the fight, talked about the picture. we squashed it.
Yeah. I remember saying to him, he's like, I'm going to ask him to take down the picture. I'm like, there's no way he's taking down the picture. Snoop Dogg commented on the picture. You can't take that down.
Snoop wanted to print t-shirts with me. So we were in the middle of getting the picture. Well, we were trying to acquire the picture. We couldn't. So we were in the middle of recreating the picture.
Uh-huh.
And we had a rough copy down, and then I got traded. So I called Snoop's team, and I was like, "Hey, I don't think we can print that picture anymore. Like, I can't do my boy like that." So we shut that down.
That's hilarious. Yeah. You couldn't acquire it because usually all you have to do is call the Strib. Like the Star Tribune took the picture, and they usually buy it for like $20.
No, so apparently, was it the Star Tribune?
Yeah, Aaron Levinsky.
Yeah, so apparently they have a deal with NHL that they can't sell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sell pictures.
Wow, yeah. Interesting. I used to work there. All right, Andrew wants to know, rank your top five fighters in the NHL right now.
In no order, me, McDermott, Delorier, Luch. Who am I gonna throw five there? I don't even know who to throw five. I'm trying to go through the league here. I'll throw it to Tom Wilson. I hate to say that, but I'll throw it to him.
You got that personal rivalry.
Yeah.
Joe Rogers, who's the most satisfying person to punch in the face?
Evander Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So actually, Gene wants to know: do personal rivalries travel with new teams, as in Tom Wilson, Evander Kane?
I think the Kane would travel with me.
Yeah.
The Wilson thing, I think that's always just been on ice. Mm-hmm. I don't like a lot of stuff he's done on the ice, but I think I'd really like the guy off the ice. Mm-hmm. I think I've said that before. The Kane thing, I don't think that's ever getting squashed.
What is it about Evander? Like, I'll be honest, I won't go into total deal, but I'm dealing with something from a PHWA standpoint because he just like went off on one of our writers recently.
Yeah.
Went crazy on him. I mean, like what is it with this guy?
Just, I think my whole career, I've always asked him to fight and he always says, no, like I would whoop you up. Like, no, I would be, you know, I'd piss pump you. And it's like, okay, well, if that's the case, then let's just fight. And mm-hmm. then, you know, he said in the media one time, you know, I think one of his teammates called me, he's like, oh, you should see what this guy just said. And he was telling the media or like his teammates that he asked me to fight in a game where I was chasing him up the ice, asking him to go and he wouldn't. And then he told everybody that he asked me to fight. And so it was just like stuff like that. And he just never would. And then, you know, we finally fought in the playoffs a couple years ago, but you know, it's just stuff like that just bothers me. Like, you know, if you're going to talk that much, you know, if you're going to talk that much garbage on the ice, then, you know, just back it up and then we got no problem. But if you're going to, you know, do that kind of stuff and you're just never going to back it up after, you know, 7-8 years, then I'm going to be sick of it.
Yeah. I remember that 2018 San Jose Vegas series, when he got suspended. I remember when who'd he hit again? It was at Noshik. It was, I can't remember. But I remember going into the Vegas room and everybody flocked to your stall to get the quotes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you definitely enjoyed that one. So, Rob Winnick wants to know. So this guy must know Stewie. Okay. Stewie told me you can't hang with him in the off season when it's full green light, true or embellished.
Listen, that could not be more embellished. Like, ask Stu about what happened at my bachelor party. So my bachelor party was in Montreal. We were going to go Montreal back to Toronto. So 3 days in Montreal, back to Toronto. We decided late we were going to go to Toronto. Beginning of the bachelor party, Stu goes, are your boys in Winnipeg ready for this? Because I don't think they're ready to hang. And I said, hey, I hope they are, but we'll find out. Guess who was gone after the second day? Didn't tell me, just packed all his stuff up and left a car in Montreal and flew home with the other Toronto boys because they couldn't hang, because they just couldn't handle it. So then I went another day, and then I went to Toronto for 2 days and he didn't come out. So, like, I don't know where that's coming from, but we need to get Stu on this podcast.
Yeah, I know. We need to have a double podcast. Yeah. I did a podcast last year with Stu. It was outstanding.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be my favorite Chris Stewart story right there. Yeah, yeah, that's my favorite CC.
A couple more for you, Ryan. You've been real generous with your time. Mitch wants to know, I love this when you do it. Can we hear your Ken Hitchcock impression?
Oh, man.
Jesus, Revo, get off the ice. What are you doing? That's the top line. Skate! Skate! Revo, change!
That voice is just like, it's burned into my soul.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, though, he is a sports writer's dream. Like, I still call him
he's a great guy, though. Yeah. Like,
he's old school, too. Like, he's like a baseball manager. Like, baseball, when sports writers, you hang out in their office.
Yeah.
Like, Hitch is the same way. Like, as a sports writer, a lot of times you'll just go hang out in his office after a morning skate and chat with him. So I've always respected that. He always treated us well. So MSG had a good question that actually I was going to skip until I watched you on the ice today with Connor Durr just hanging out and chatting. Based off first impressions, which young player do you think that you could best mentor here? Like, what did you and a Connor Durr speak about on the ice today?
I don't know. I can't remember talking.
It was just you guys on one knee just chatting away. I think it was Durr.
Yeah.
But either way, you got to know that when you walk into a room that a lot of these young kids just look up to you right away. I mean, anybody here that jump out at you?
You know, I'm still getting to know a lot of them, but there's a lot of young guys on this team, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't got everybody's ages down, but just based on their looks, it looks like there's a lot of young guys. But I don't know. I don't like really look to mentor anybody. I think once guys get to know me, I have a reputation of, you know, those guys knowing that they can come to me for anything on ice, off ice. You know, I'm probably not going to teach them any skill stuff, but any issues they ever have off the ice, anything they're going through, you know, I think I've always prided myself on being that guy that, you know, they feel comfortable to come to me and, you know, either talk it out or, you know, we can find a solution. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't play the big minutes like the top line guys. So there's other things I try and contribute to a team. And that's definitely one of them.
Maddie wants to know the best thing about each city that you've played for.
Oh man. St. Louis was my first home. That place gave me, gave me a shot in the NHL when, a lot of people said I was never going to play. So, I owe a lot to that city. Pittsburgh was a quick cup of coffee. I got to, I think the best thing about that, I got to play with, Sid and Gino, two of the best players in the world. So that was, it was fun just kind of watching those guys do their thing in practice and in games. Vegas, rejuvenated my career. When coming from Pittsburgh, I thought I was maybe done. You know, I wasn't playing a ton, but then, I get to Vegas and all of a sudden I'm, playing good minutes, go to the finals, get a couple of good contracts with them. And I found a home in Vegas. That's now my summer house and my off season. And, probably for a while I was, in the community a lot. a lot of people don't know that that's a whole different life outside of the strip there. So
yeah,
Vegas opened my eyes to a different part of that city. And, you know, New York, just playing at the Garden, you know, a lot of history in that place, obviously an original six team. It was just cool putting on that sweater and being part of that organization for, you know, a year and a bit.
And obviously super quick here in Minnesota. Have you gotten to do anything?
I've not, you know, I've been living in the hotel. We're going on a quick road trip here. So I got to, you know, coming from Vegas to New York, New York wasn't that cold last year. So I got to get some boots. Luckily, the owner in Vegas bought everybody Canada Goose jackets, which is a weird place to get a Canada Goose jacket. So I get to put that in, to use now. But I got to go get another like dress jacket, some boots, get ready for this winter. I had to get some snow tires. The racing tires don't work with the the car here.
Yeah. Tattooed 17 wants to know why number 75.
It was given to me in training camp, and so I was always number 38 coming up. But then they asked me if I wanted it. I said, no, not really. You know, 38 was my dad's number. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to, you know, carve my own path. And then, you know, that Demetra died in that plane crash. They retired 38 anyway. So it was, I'll just take 75. Nobody had it in the league. So,
I covered Demetra here. Kevin asks, he'd like to know your stance on hockey and where it's headed. Is he and a few others an aging guard, or do you think that it will be, and do you think it'll be banned eventually?
What?
Fighting.
Fighting?
Yep.
No, I've said this before, and I think we've already started to see it a little bit. You know, after last lockout, they were talking about kind of getting rid of fighting, or they're putting visors on everybody, you know, instigating rule. And you saw the fights slowly dwindle down a little bit, but I said, somebody asked me that, you know, 7 years ago. And I said, all it's going to take is, you know, someone like me or, you know, Lucic or one of these bigger guys to run over, you know, a star player. Mm-hmm. And everybody's gonna be like, well, you know, where's the fighting? Where, you know, who's there to stick up for it? And so I think we've seen, you know, when we went to the finals, you know, I was in the finals, Wilson was in the finals. You know, there's been some heaviness in the last couple finals. And I think every season you see a little more of the fighting coming back. You know, now teams are, you know, starting to beef up a little bit, where, you know, the years that Pittsburgh won, they didn't have any of that. So teams were starting to mock that. And now it's kind of going the opposite way.
This person, great question. You and Biz Nasty are 21 in the AHL. Who wins a fight?
Are 21 in the AHL?
Yeah.
Probably at 21, probably Biz. I didn't have my weight on at 21. I wasn't, I was still not, still didn't know how tough I was then. I was still trying to find that part of my game. And I think Biz was always kind of that guy. So, 21 Biz, 25 and up, no question me.
Couple more for you. Shayna wants to know, she works for the Athletic. She wants to know, will playing home games in Minnesota in the cold change your game day fits? Because you are one of the best dressed.
Yeah, it does. And you know what? I had a green suit I wanted to rock here, and it finally got here after I went back from New York. So I wanted to rock that, but then I have the only jacket I have is my big Canada Goose. So I wore the Canada Goose in the car, and then right when I got to the rink, I took it off, left it in there, and threw the green jacket on. So we'll see. I'm going to have to get a nice dress jacket, I think.
You definitely. Dead or alive, one person you'd love to have a drink with?
Snoop. Yeah, and not
you, just, so have you gotten to know him?
No, I haven't. And you know what? Not just because he DM'd me. Honestly, I'm not a big celebrity guy. Like, I don't know a lot of celebrity names. Like, if you looked at a movie, I don't really know what that guy's name is. I've just always thought that guy was the coolest guy in the world. Like, he, you know, growing up, loved his music. And you see what he's done with his career. He's everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's everywhere and somehow you don't get sick of him.
Yeah.
Like somehow you still want more. You know, he does those Corona commercials. He's just, I don't know. He's done a great job with his career coming up from the rap game. And I respect
now he's just hilarious.
He's so funny. Yeah.
I mean, we get to see him a lot of times at the Staples Center with Chris and I mean, just, he's one of those guys, like I was telling this story on a podcast the other day, like I just was at the Four Seasons Hotel and the Golden State Warriors were coming in, and I've been a sports writer forever. I've not starstruck by players, but Steph Curry was right in front of me. I'm like, holy shit, that is Steph Curry.
You know, it's funny too, because I told my wife, I'm not a huge basketball fan, I guess, but I love watching Steph Curry. Yeah. Like, he's so unique in the game. Exactly. And yeah, so I don't know. Yeah. I guess that would be one NBA player I'd like to meet. But
it's same thing. Every time I've seen Snoop at Staples Center, you just kind of stop and look at him and just like watch him because he's just he's such a cool cat. Final question. I asked you this on the phone right after you were traded here. Are you going to make a wild beer? tell everybody about 75 Brew and you've made one with St. Louis theme, Vegas theme, and you basically said to Bill Guerin, "Hey, if you re-sign me, I'll do one for the Wild."
Right? Yeah, so it's 75, not 75. Okay, okay. I would love to. It's a little bit of a process getting licensing. So we contract Brew in Vegas, so we pay a brewery to brew all of our stuff, and then we distribute it outside of that. It would be a process to kind of get the licensing. So when I was in Vegas, I didn't have it the first year. It was right when I signed my extension after that first year I got traded there. We started in August and we had our first beer out in December. It would be a little bit easier this time because we know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if I started now and then, got it out by just before summer or end of the year, and then I didn't re-sign here, I think it would just be... Yeah, I think it would die pretty quickly.
Right.
So, if the boss wants to let me stay a little longer, which I'd love to, I'd bring it down here.
That exact thing happened with Zena Konopka. He made a wild themed wine because he did ice wine and I think it's Lake of Niagara or something like that. And then he left and it was like, all right, now he's got this wild wine they stretched. So, it was just a little weird. So, well, hey, Ryan, this was a lot of fun. Really looking forward to covering you. As I told Bill Guerin that day, I'm like, I think sports writers in the Twin Cities were super excited that day when they acquired you. Just because you're always fun to talk to. I remember 2018 just flocking to your stall almost every day after practice just to hear what you had to say.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it, Ryan.
Anytime.
Yep. And here's a word from one of our sponsors. Well, thanks to Ryan Reeves for joining this week's edition of Straight from the Source. Really fun interview with Ryan. Hope everybody enjoyed it. The podcast will actually be off next week because Joe Smith is going to be traveling out to Western Canada with the Wild, and I'm taking a little time off next week as well. The Wild play Anaheim at home on Saturday, then go to Dallas. I'll be there for that game, and that begins a 4-game road trip. But from Dallas, they will actually go up to Alberta and do a little team bonding trip, I believe south of Banff, where they're going to be doing their own version of Amazing Race and all sorts of fun little activities in the woods, on a lake, all that type of stuff. So they'll have fun, and then they begin a 3-game road trip to Calgary, at Edmonton, and Vancouver. And Joe Smith has a bunch of really cool stuff planned. So hope that you continue reading and enjoying the Athletics coverage and also podcast throughout our platform. Actor John Hamm, who I got to chat with a couple weeks ago in Vegas when I was there for the Blues Golden Knights game, he joined Sean Gentile and Jeremy Rutherford on the Athletic Hockey Show on Tuesday, December 6th. Peter Baugh, our incredible Colorado Avalanche beat writer, who covered a cup last year. He has a new book out. He stops by the roundtable on Wednesday the 7th with Rob Pizzo, Jesse Granger, and guest co-host Joe Smith. He'll be guest co-hosting for me. And by the way, if you missed this past Wednesday's show, definitely give it a listen. Bernie Nichols was our guest, and it was just a blast. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform and leave a rating and review. Subscribe to the Athletics NHL YouTube channel at youtube.com/@TheAthleticHockeyShow. That's youtube.com/@ The Athletic Hockey Show. Get a new subscription to The Athletic for just $2 per month for 12 months when you visit theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. Again, a new subscription to The Athletic for $2 a month for 12 months when you visit theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. Talk to you next time, everybody.